Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. One verse of Scripture, verse 29. Hebrews 11, verse 29. If you're able to stand, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Hebrews 11, verse 29. The Bible declares to us by faith, they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word. Help me to preach what you've laid on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Go ahead and turn to Exodus chapter 14. While you're turning there, tonight's sermon is Living by Faith, the Red Sea Crossing. Living by faith, the Red Sea crossing. Ellen, you got this? Okay. Well, sometimes you said the Red Sea is in Shreveport, right? Carmen, I'm so sorry. Carmen, you got that? We love you. We love you. No, it's all right. The Red Sea crossing. Now, the last time we were in the study, we examined the Passover. But tonight, we will conclude the stories of faith surrounding Moses. So, we're going to read all of Exodus chapter 14, begin reading in verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel. And they turned and encamped before Pahaharoth, between Migdol and the sea, over against Baal-zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honored upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, Why have we done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us. And he made ready his chariot, and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots, and all the chariots of Egypt, and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of the Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, beside Pahaharoth, before Baal-zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there was no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said to the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said to Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, as they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud, went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and it was a cloud and darkness to them. But it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning, watched the Lord, looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out thy hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen, all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Y'all, this is probably one of the greatest acts of God for the Israelites during the Exodus. Yet all the plagues that had happened, scientists have tried to come up with so many reasons to explain the plagues and think they've got it. You know, they say a volcano erupted way off the coast of Egypt and caused all those things to come their way, so on and so forth. But here's one they cannot explain. Really and truly, God did it the way that He wanted to do it. My thing is, if God wanted to use nature to prove His power, He has that ability and that right to do such. I just know that God did it. But when it comes to this point, as the Bible declares to us, that God Himself stepped in and fought their battle. How about that? He fought the battle for them, and they walked on dry ground. And I don't know about you. Even in a very dry climate where there's hardly little, no water at all, you put water on soil, it takes a little bit to get hard again. But according to the Bible here, that when God did this, all night that wind made the sea stretch back till there was a wall of water on the left and a wall of water on the right. But immediately, there was no mud. Dry ground. And never will forget going to the Dead Sea. And remember, it drops several feet each year. Where we went was used to be the parts of the bottom of the Dead Sea. Now, if you've ever been to a pond or a lake where you get to a spot where there's always water, that is just muck and yuck and mud, and it's not hard at all. When I stepped foot in the Dead Sea, that muck and that yuck and that mud, it pulled Daniel Clark in. I was up to here in mud immediately. Yeah. You said, that doesn't sound too fun. I had a blast, but that's a different story. Let me tell you, that would have taken a long, long, long time for that sediment, the bottom of that sea, to harden up. Immediately, it was dry. They could walk across it. You say, well, why is this all about faith? Y'all, God told them to walk through it. Walk through it. That takes faith. Because you got to admit, you're not seeing anything keep these walls of water up. Okay? I mean, you're going several feet down into the depths. You've probably got hundreds of feet of water on both sides of you. There's no wall there. There's no any kind of thing keeping it up except God. He said, walk through the midst of it. That's faith. But you know what? If I knew God was holding it, God would keep it held as long as he's going through it. My first point this evening is the people got entangled. The people got entangled. We see this in verses 1 through 4 of Exodus 14. God purposely led the people to a place that looked to Pharaoh like they had nowhere else to go. He did that on purpose. He led them to this place in the wilderness where it looked like they were in such a bind where they couldn't go anywhere. Now you remember, this wasn't a small group of people going anywhere. This was an entire nation of people traveling. With our modern technology, I would have liked to have taken a satellite image of that. Just to see that mass of people on the move. And you just don't quickly, with that big old mass of people, just run and move from one spot. So they're at a spot where Pharaoh hears that they're trapped. Perfect opportunity to get to them. Number one, sometimes God will work things in our lives where we have nowhere else to turn except to Him. The Israelites were in a place that God led them that was not on the way to the promised land. Did y'all know that? If you follow the journeys of the Exodus, where they were at was not the typical route to go to the promised land. But sometimes, we see in verses 3 and 4, the hard paths that God leads us on are for Him to show His glory. You see, how did they know to go? None of them had ever been. Moses might have been before this point. We really don't know. But all signs point that he had never stepped foot in the promised land, because the Bible says that later on in Moses' life, where God was finally going to let the people, the children of Israel, go in, Moses didn't get to step foot in. He got to look at it, though. So nobody had ever been. How did they know how to get there? Well, you had a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. It was God leading them there. So wherever God was going, they went. Wherever God stopped, that's where they stopped. Well, why in the world would God lead them to this place where it doesn't make any sense? So that God could show His glory. You see, sometimes God does lead us on paths that seem hard and difficult, but it's all the purpose for us to give the glory to God and to show who God is. My next point this evening is the people got scared. The people got scared. We see that in verses 5 through 12 of Exodus 14. Verse 5, Pharaoh got to thinking about what kind of humiliation he was in for letting the slaves go. You remember in our recent study of the book of Exodus, old Egypt been through a lot. They'd lost just about all their crops. They'd lost most of their beasts of burden. They've lost most of their cattle. They'd lost the water supply. They had been infected with disease and pestilence. And then to make it all worse, they even lost their firstborn. Buddy, after that one right there of losing your children, they said, get out as quickly as possible. Take what we have left and get out, please. Don't stay here anymore. So not only had they lost all these things, they'd lost wealth, they'd lost life. Pharaoh was back on his throne, and he's humiliated, he's embarrassed that he'd been defeated pretty much. Now remember, Egypt at that point in time was one of the most powerful countries in the world. And Pharaoh, remember, in their society, he was a god. And he thought himself to be a god. And he was defeated by slaves and the god of the slaves. He was working on his heart and on his mind. He was embarrassed, humiliated. In verses 6 through 9, he was going to have revenge using all of his armies. He was out for blood. He was out for blood at this point. So he took everyone that was a soldier in Egypt to do this. By the way, that was a bad move. That was a really bad move. Even military strategists would say that was the wrong thing to do. When you've been defeated so much, you don't call up every man that's left in the army and go out for a final assault. But the problem was that he was acting out of his emotions, and no one thinks clearly when they act out of their emotions. He was out for blood. Kill them all. And out of that, he was also so prideful and haughty that he thought, you know what? We'll just kill them all. Forget about all the other stuff. I mean, they're defenseless. They're not people of war. Bad move, Pharaoh. That's a big gamble. And of course, it didn't go well. That was an even further blow to Egypt. Verse 10, the Israelites saw this massive army marching towards them, and they were very afraid. Now, who knows? Who knows how far the distance was that they would see, but 600 chariots rolling in the desert toward you, it's going to stir up a big old sand plume coming up toward you. What's that? And they sent out scouts to look at it. It's Pharaoh's army coming after us. Oh no, what are we going to do? Well, they did the wrong thing. They didn't turn to God. Yet, they did something really foolish in verses 11 and 12. They complained to Moses that they had a better life as slaves than to be dead. First of all, Moses got a taste of this when the plagues were going on. They even reminded him of that. Now that God is with them, they're now telling God that he can't protect them and that his way is not better. That's what they're saying. God, who had protected them from the start, who got them out of Egypt, out of slavery, who had fought for them all on the way, now they're saying, God, you're not able to do this. We would rather be slaves. We'd rather go back to the thing that you got us out of, that we prayed for 400 years to get out. Yeah. Yeah. Well, at this point, which is my next point, the people got reassured. They got reassured. Verses 13 through 18. Verse 13, Moses tells the people to watch and see what the Lord's going to do. I love this verse of Scripture. Verse 13, and Moses said to the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. It's almost like, be quiet and watch what the Lord's going to do for you today. Verse 15 through 18, God told Moses to lead the people forward Why? Because God's got this. God's got this. You just go ahead, Moses, and you lead the people forward. I've got this. The wording here says that God Himself was going to fight this battle for them. I would rather have God fight my battles for me any day. Any day, God can fight my battles. And by the way, you would want God to fight your battles. God, through His angel that was leading them through the cloud and the pillar of fire, was normally ahead of them, went behind the camp, and caused darkness to come upon the Egyptians where they couldn't see where to go. And how long to keep them that way? All night. So that God, as He parted the Red Sea, told them, go on in there. Go ahead. And they did. He kept them tied up a long, long time. God knew exactly what He was doing to show to the Egyptians that He is still the only and true God and that you better not mess with His children. My last point this evening, the people got delivered. The people got delivered, verses 19 to 31 of Exodus 14. When that pillar of fire and cloud went behind the camp to protect them, God Himself was protecting His own people. They weren't having to fight any battles. God has already fought many battles for us. All we have to do is obey Him. That's all we have to do. Verses 21 and 22, God rolled back the waters of the Red Sea that night and the ground was dry. It was always under the impression that this happened immediately. Well, it did sort of, but it wasn't instant because He used the east wind to do it. The Israelites, though, did walk on dry ground immediately, though, with the walls of water on their left and right. I just wondered, as they're watching the waters roll back for that wind, and Moses says, let's go. They go. You know? Oh, okay. Here we go. No, I really think that they went straight on. There was no hesitancy. I mean, they were watching all this before their very eyes. And God is not only in front of them, but He's behind them as well. He's leading them still. He's protecting them still. So how's He leading them? Using Moses. Now, Moses was a man, and he wasn't perfect, but we can see where Moses was a type of Christ. We can see how he was the deliverer sent by God to the people to teach them, to lead them, to instruct them. Here, God was really showing out for the Israelites. Verses 23 to 25, the Egyptians figured out what was going on. But still pursued the Israelites into the sea. Did you know that they were experiencing the same thing the Israelites were? They sure were. They were covered in this darkness. And when the darkness went away, what'd they see? The walls of water on the left and the right and the dry ground. And they could see in the way off distance the Israelites. And as they went in, their chariot wheels fell off, and the Egyptians even said, their God is fighting for them. We better turn around and go back. But as Brother Van just said, it was too late at that point. They began to fear what was happening because they even knew that God was fighting for the Israelites. So in verses 26 to 31, God killed all of the Egyptian soldiers, which, by the way, included Pharaoh. Now, some movies will have where Pharaoh stayed back. No, he was killed too. He was killed too. So not only did they get to experience what it was like to be disobedient and fight against God that day and lose, but Egypt lost its great source of power, its army, that day. God had the waters return to normal, which killed all the army and the horses that were in it. The Bible declares in verse 28 that there was not a soul in that army that survived that day. We see where the Israelites saw the dead Egyptians floating back up on the shore. Israel feared the Lord that day and believed in Him and Moses. What can we learn from all of this? That God can deliver you out of anything if you let Him. God can deliver you out of anything whatsoever if you let Him. And that takes faith. That's living by faith. This is where so many people struggle, y'all. Is that when they get in a tight pinch in life, is asking for help. Now, some people don't mind asking for help. In fact, in my opinion, they ask too much for help. You know, we get calls all the time. I need help with this bill and that bill and so on and so forth. I'm sympathetic to some of them. But y'all, most people are very prideful. Very, 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 very prideful. And when something goes wrong, especially that they did wrong, well, then they have to be the one that fixes it because it was their fault. But guess what? It doesn't always work that way. You see, we're all sinners, every one of us. And that means we're immediately at fault with God. But, there is a way to not be at fault with God. And that is through the one way that He's provided, through Jesus Christ. You see, He can help us if we let Him. Mankind has tried for years to go around that plan that God has set forth. They'll try to go above it, below it, around it. It never has worked and it never will work. God has the plan. Brothers and sisters, that's the only way. God's way. So if He can help you with salvation, He can help you with a whole lot more. You say, well, you don't know what's going on in my life for the day. You're right. I don't know. But God does. The same God who fought this great battle for Israel, can fight that battle for you. He's been in this a long time, y'all. If He can create this very universe by speaking it into existence, guess what? Your problem's not too big for God. But herein lies the thing. It's our pride. You know, sometimes God can get real low. And I mean low, y'all, so that our pride is finally gone. Our humility is there. And the only thing we can do is cry out to God. But you know what? What I hope that you would learn through that is that you should have called on God a long time ago. You see, some people waste so many years, so much time, because what they're really doing is fighting the Lord. They're fighting the Lord on what they need to be doing, when all they have to do is just simply obey Him. the battle is already won. Do you know that God has promised us victory? He's promised us victory. But it's all through Him, through His Son Jesus. If we would just simply trust and obey Him, y'all, everything else will fall into its place. Oh, Brother Daniel, that sounds way too easy. I didn't say it wouldn't be hard. But what I do know is that if you let God help you, He will get the glory and you'll get the help. If you allow God to work through you and in you this evening. So whatever care or trouble you've got going on in your life, whatever hardships you have going on, you need to take them to the foot of the cross and leave them there. Leave them there this evening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to You now and we thank You so much for fighting our greatest battle when You fought the battle on Calvary's cross. Lord, I don't thank You enough, but thank You for my salvation. It cost You everything so that I could have everything, Lord. Please forgive me for taking that for granted. Lord, there are many here who have burdens on their heart. They have hardships. They have concerns. They have burdens. They've got things going on that no one else knows about. Lord, let Your Holy Spirit work in them. May they listen and heed Your Holy Spirit to take those things that is wrong and is also troubling in their life. And just let You, Lord, help them with that. May they have faith to do such, and may they allow You to do such, Lord. We thank You all and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand?